everybody. Welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay, and I'm so happy that you're here with me today. This is a show where I bring on motivating and inspiring women, and we have a fun, casual conversation. Sometimes we talk about serious stuff, sometimes we talk about lighthearted stuff, and my hope is that you feel like you are taking us with you wherever you're going, whether that's running, cooking dinner, driving in the car, whatever you do. I hope you feel like you are just part of this conversation with us. Today you are listening to episode 26, and I'm talking to Dorothy Beal. Dorothy is behind the blog Mileposts, and she's the creator of I Run This Body. She's done so much with her blog and kind of just creating her own business. And I had a lot of fun talking to her and picking her brain and listening to how that all began and got started. Dorothy was actually also on the cover of Women's Running Magazine in 2012. She did the exact same contest I did in 2014, right? Yeah, 2014. So it was fun to talk to her about that experience as well. And I want to tell you guys, this is just a random coincidence that I am interviewing Dorothy for this episode. Women's Running Magazine is actually running the exact same contest that we did, and it just launched Thursday. So when you're hearing this episode, it launched yesterday. So go to womensrunning.com/coverrunnercontest, and you can find out how to apply for the contest yourself. I will say that I had a wonderful experience with them. It was so much fun. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity and what it has provided me with. I highly suggest applying for this contest, no matter who you are. And you'll hear Dorothy and I talk about it in this interview. You know, Dorothy kind of just says, why not me? Like, why not apply? And somebody has to win. So go check it out. Don't sell yourself short. You deserve to win a fun contest like this, and why not give it a shot? So use the hashtag WRCoverContest when talking about it at all. And I'll definitely put all this information on the show notes of this episode. Before we get started talking with Dorothy, would you head over to iTunes and rate and review my podcast? I would really appreciate it. I saw a lot of traction last week when I did this call to action. So I appreciate you guys, those of you who have been listening over and over again, listening to me ask you to do this week after week after week. But I really think it helps. So it's the best way for new listeners to find us. If you are a small business, company, organization, and you are interested in working with this podcast and speaking to this very engaged and amazing audience that I get to talk to every week, send me an email, lindsay@lindsayhine.com, and I'll send you some information on demographics and statistics and ways we can partner together for this show. All right, make sure you're following me along on Instagram. It's my most favorite, lindsayhine626. And you can find me on Twitter @LindsayHine, and then Facebook is recently updated to I'll Have Another with Lindsay Hine. So I look forward to hearing what you guys think about this conversation in this episode. We will go ahead and get started talking with Dorothy. Thanks. Good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's nice to see you face to face.
Thanks. Even though I'm all sweaty.
I am too. But I didn't just get done running. I just got done walking, but I'm still sweaty because it's super humid.
Yeah.
Is it humid? Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I was just in my basement doing like lifting and stuff, but it's still so
gross.
Humid out.
I do lead a stroller group on Wednesdays at 10. And now that I'm super pregnant and it's really hot, like half the time I just walk because it's 10 o'clock and it's pretty late in the day, so it's warm.
Yeah.
But I was like dripping sweat just walking today. It's gross.
I always see your stroller pictures. I'm like, oh. Stroller running.
I know. Well, and my older one is in school now. Like, he's technically, he's only 4, but we have a public school, like, right across the street from our house, and he's going to their pre-K program, and he's going a year early, so I'm going to send him to this program twice, but he's there from, like, 9 to 3:40, 5 days a week now. Just started last week.
Crazy.
At 4. I know. And so when you told me that your little guy that's starting kindergarten doesn't even go full day yet, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm spoiled rotten, and I'm choosing to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no. Well, we're still hoping. We're keeping our fingers crossed. We're one of only, like, 3 counties in the state that don't have full-day kindergarten, but they're slowly, like, rolling it in. So it was like the Hunger Games this year. They put all the names in a hat and pulled your name out of the hat to see if you got full-day kindergarten.
So do you have to do morning or evening or afternoon?
We'll find out. They just randomly assign it.
But so then it would be like 9 to noon or noon to 3 or something?
Well, if he goes in the morning, the bus will get him at like 7:30, and then he'll be done by like 10:45.
And you have to go pick him up, or does he ride the bus?
He can ride the bus, but the bus is like, I mean, school is like not even a mile away.
Oh.
And the bus takes 30 minutes to get him home.
Yeah.
Because he would be the last stop. So, I mean, while I would like the extra time.
Right.
I don't really want him to make him like sit on the bus every day, you know?
Yeah. Unless he loves it. So you're waiting to find out if he's going to get in full day.
Yeah, they have like a list. And if your kid got picked, then you decide whether you want to send them. And if you don't, then someone else that's in order of numbers on the list gets picked.
That's so crazy. And I am telling you, like, I have had some guilt with sending Marshall over here, like, full day. But I'm kind of, and you're in the same boat as me, like, stay-at-home mom, but still works from home at the same time. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like I'm using it as free childcare. You know, it's a public school.
I mean, I wouldn't feel bad at all. It's so good for them.
Yeah.
And I think, like, regardless, you're going to have mom guilt either way. You know, like, if you're home and you're not fully paying attention to them.
Yeah.
So I think it's good
for them. So true. Like, how much TV would he be watching while my little guy naps so I can do stuff like this?
Exactly.
And he's doing something way more productive at school than watching 2 hours of TV while I, like, work while Lewis naps.
Yeah. That's why I'm, like, praying Colton gets into full day. Not just because of me, but it's, like, he's bored. And there's only so much you can do when, you know, it's just him and there's only a couple of floors. Like, I'm not going to drive all over town, like, park to park, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
so we've been trying to schedule this for a while, so I'm super excited to have you on.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you.
So, Dorothy, I'm trying to think when I started following you on social media. Like, I was a little bit late to the Twitter game. I feel like you and a bunch of other people were involved in that kind of, like, social scene before me. It must have been when I had my first baby, though.
Yeah, I think actually I followed your sister first.
Yeah, Erica.
Yeah, I met her in D.C. one time on a Back on My Feet run.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she, she's probably the one that told me who you were, like, oh, you should look at this girl's blog or whatever, because I was just starting to do mom stuff and stroller run and all that good stuff. So, because when did you start kind of, like, your little online presence and all that whole deal?
I started writing my blog in 2009, so.
Okay. So that was early on.
Yeah, well, I didn't really know, like, all my friends had mom blogs, and I loved the idea of, like, writing online, but there's no way I would want to talk about my kids, like, every single second and have them, like, be able to go back and, like, read my thoughts.
Yeah.
Even now, some of the stuff that I wrote when they were, like, really little and I was super tired, I'm like, maybe I should go back and delete that stuff so they never find it, you know?
I get that. I was just going to say, Glenn's birthday was Sunday, and I took a video of, like, him doing his birthday cake, and Marshall was, like, screaming the whole time. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't post this on social media, even though on Marshall's birthday I posted a Instagram video of him screaming at his birthday cake. Because it was kind of funny, but I'm starting to think like that, like, oh, will this be embarrassing to him when he's 12?
Yeah. Well, and you just don't know. Like, my kids go online and watch, like, YouTube videos, like, learning how to do stuff. And the other day, Miles was like, you're on YouTube? And I'm like, what? And he's like, you're on YouTube. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm on YouTube? He's like, yeah, we plugged in your name. And I'm just like, what? Like, what else are they plugging my name into?
Yeah.
You know? So even if you monitor it, like, sometimes there's only so much you can do. You know?
How old are your kids?
So Chloe turns 10 in September in just a couple of weeks. And Miles is 8.
Okay.
And then Colton will be 6 in November.
Okay. So is Chloe in 5th grade?
Yep. She's going to 5th grade.
So you got 5th, 3rd?
And kindergarten.
Aw. It's such a sweet
stage.
He just
finished that off, too. So.
Oh, right. Because when's his birthday?
In November. So he'll turn 6. So kids that are just turning 5 in September will be in his class, which is another reason why I'm like, he has to get into full day. Like, he's so old, you know?
He's ready for it. Well, yeah, Marshall's a June birthday, and we're going to hold him back so he doesn't start till he's 6, too. So he'll be really old.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, well, the sooner you send them, the sooner they're out of the house for good, though.
I know. Actually, I've been having a lot of those, like, moments lately because Chloe's turning 10.
Yeah.
And I feel like I just I just became a mom.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, only a couple more years till she's in high school. And then she's going to be in college. And, like, what have I done? You know what I mean?
8 years. Yeah.
It's, like, it just flies by.
She's over halfway.
I know. So I think this year has been, like, a really big, like, introspection type of year of just thinking about, like, my goals as it relates to, like, just spending more time with my kids.
Yeah.
You know? And when they're super little, like, it's hard to ever realize or, like, comprehend that they're going to be, like, big.
Yeah.
And it really does go by in, like, a flash.
I know. It's such a like, a double-edged sword because you're, like, you want to embrace it so much, but there's so many days where you're so exhausted and you're just like, I just need a break.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely at least once a week, if not like once a day. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my mind. But as time goes on, I'm like, I really have to kind of like savor this. I know, because it's like whenever you see like older women, they're always like, oh,
I remember.
And you're like, okay. Shut up. I have, like, a poopy diaper right here. Uh-huh. Like, this kid's been screaming for forever. You know, like, just the other day in Target, Colton started throwing a fit. And he goes, I don't have to listen to you, lady. And everyone, like, whips their head around looking at me to see, like, how am I going to punish my kid? So it's like when you see those women telling you to, like, embrace it, you're like, yeah, embrace this, you know? But at the same time, now I feel like when I see my friends with newborns, I'm like, oh my gosh, it goes so fast. Like, stop complaining about not sleeping. Yeah. You know?
You learn quickly after the first that the no sleep thing isn't as big as a deal as you thought it was the first time around.
Yeah. I mean,
it was the end of the world the first time, though. I was like, I can't function.
I know. Well, and I see so many new moms that are like, he didn't sleep, or he didn't this, or he didn't that. And I'm just like, girlfriend, like, it's not going to change for, like, the next, like, 15 years.
It'll move on. Yeah. It'll get, like, better.
Just accept it. Yeah.
So how old were you when you had your first? Because I feel like you were pretty young.
Yeah, I guess I was 24, 25.
Okay. Yeah. Because we're similar in age, but I am, I'm assuming, I'm 32.
I'm 34.
Okay. So, but I am, like, just now in the, like, baby phase, obviously. Like,
yeah.
Marshall's 4, well, Lewis is 19 months, and then I'm pregnant, so.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I mean, I enjoy being a young mom.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize I was young because my mom had 4 kids by 24.
Yeah.
So, to me, I was, like, having my first when she had been done with 4.
Yeah.
You know? But now, I mean, it's definitely, like, a parent. Like, when I go to, like, parent-teacher conferences or, you know, meet other parents in my kids' classes whose, like, dads are as old as my dad, you know, like, it's definitely very apparent that I'm, like, the baby in the group. But, yeah, I mean, everyone has, like, a different path. And I figure when lots of my friends are, like, dealing with 10-year-olds, like, I'll just be sitting there with, like, college students.
You'll be sitting there with your feet up. Well, you're already to the point probably where you can, like, go to the pool with your kids and they all know how to swim, right? So you don't have to worry about people falling in the pool.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot easier. Like, when you go to friends' houses, you know, if you're, like, getting together for drinks or whatever, you know, they're still in, like, the hovering mode where you're, like, hovering over your kids. Whereas I'm just, like, sitting there and every so often you check
out. That sounds amazing. You know? Which, I can already do that with Marshall. I mean, he's 4, but it's like when they're going to run, like, 18 months and they can run into traffic or whatever. It's so scary.
Yeah.
So, let's give everybody just, like, an introduction of Dorothy. Like, where you grew up, you know, where you went to school, all that good stuff.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I grew up in this area in, like, Vienna and Reston, so just a little bit outside of D.C. and Virginia. And the only time I really left was to go to college. I went to college in New Jersey and had planned to move to New York City after. That's my uncle lives there. So I had family there. It sounded perfect. Came home and then just stayed home.
Now, when did you meet your husband?
I guess it was like not even a year out of college, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I met him on the treadmill at the gym.
Funny.
Which sounds really funny, but the company I worked for, you got a discounted membership with Gold's Gym. And it was great having a discounted membership, but Gold's Gym is kind of like one of those gyms where everyone is like talking to everyone and socializing and trying to meet people. And I really just wanted to work out. Like, I didn't want to talk to anyone. So he kept coming up to me on the treadmill and asking me questions about running. And I would go home and like say to my mom, and we have a mutual best friend, I would say, gosh, this guy, like, he just keeps hitting on me by asking running questions, and it's so annoying. And then like a week later, he came up to me and was like, I checked out all these websites and I think this is the race I'm going to run, and blah, blah. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's not hitting on me. Like, he really just wants running advice. So then from like then on, I like kind of let him in and was like happy to see him because we could talk about running. But yes, that's how I met him.
So were you at that point, because when did you run your first marathon?
2003. So the year I graduated from college.
So you had already ran a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I convinced him to train for his first marathon.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, I right when I graduated from college, I like wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. Like, I knew I wanted to do something with running, but like that's such like a broad spectrum, right? You know? And it's like, especially in this area, it's not like there's tons of running related jobs, you know, other than being like maybe a personal trainer or something. So I was kind of just like lost in what I wanted to do. And my mom was like, train for a marathon, it'll change your life, and you know, it'll give you some direction. And I was like, I mean, I have nothing else better to do, so I'll do it. So we trained together, which was great because, you know, a lot of people when they train for their first marathon don't have someone to go on every run. And we were living together at the time, and so I had her for every run.
And she had been a runner for a while already, right?
She started when I was in college, actually.
Oh, okay.
She was a couple of years ahead of me, but she had never really done anything, and this woman that she worked with, who is Chloe's goddaughter now and like one of our very close friends, asked my mom if she wanted to train for a marathon. My mom wasn't really a runner, but she like loved this woman and wanted to be friends with her, and so she was like, sure, I'll train for a marathon. So they trained together and ran Rock and Roll San Diego, which I think was like the first Rock and Roll race. I don't even know if that Rock and Roll had any other race at that point. Ran that together, and then she's been doing marathons ever since.
That was my first marathon too.
Was it?
Yeah, but not until 2008.
Yeah.
That's so cute. My mom started running around like when I was in college too. She can't run anymore because she has a really bad knee. Like, she's had several surgeries, and she like won't even listen to this podcast half the time because it makes her like sad because she can't run.
I totally understand that.
Yeah, she was like, I don't want to hear people talk about running. I'm like, Mom, we don't just talk about running. It's other things too. But I was just sitting here thinking how jealous she would be of like this conversation with you, knowing that your mom probably still runs and gets to do all those things.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, I know, and you can totally relate, when you're pregnant and you're running, yes, you're still running, but it's such a different kind of running that you do look at other people and are almost jealous of like what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I found that, because I was blogging when I was pregnant with Colton, that I just like really pulled back from any sort of online relationship, because even though I was running, it like wasn't really the same.
Yeah.
You know, so
I am the kind of person that very much like welcomes a break because I get burnout from training really hard or whatever. But that being said, like, for instance, when I just went to Stroller Group, one of the girls that runs at the running store that I work part-time for, she just, like, got back from doing 5-mile repeats. And she's an insane runner. Like, I'm not ever going to be as fast as her anyway. But just, like, the fact that she just got done from this, like, awesome workout, and she was, you know, she had that, like, glow and those endorphins, like, spewing off of her. I was like, okay, I'm a little bit jealous of that. I'm going to go walk for 30 minutes.
Yeah. No, I definitely get that way. The times that I've not, Marine Corps Marathon is one of my favorites. And the years that I haven't run it, I really have not gone online like at all that day, because I just can't see everyone's medals. Because I just know like what an amazing feeling it is. And I'm like, gosh, I wish I was there. And then I'm like, no, you don't. Like, this is the right decision. But it's so hard, you know?
And I have that envy with my husband too, because well, men don't have to be pregnant. So I'm like, yeah. We want this big family, but like, I have to put in the work here, and here you are training for another marathon once again.
Yes.
But I do love being a cheerleader. Before you had kids, what were you doing? I mean, obviously you had kids so young and you stayed home, so you didn't have a long time there to be in the corporate world or whatever, but...
Yeah. Well, I started out working at like a temp agency, trying out a bunch of different jobs after college. And I guess my first official job was at a company called Cox Media, which sold like cable advertising, which was interesting, but it definitely wasn't like the fitness field that I wanted to be in. I applied for a job with Brooks and got the... It was between me and another guy who still works there and, you know, was deserving of getting the job. But I helped him out sometime and was like his part-time assistant. And then when he moved on and went to corporate to do elite athlete stuff, then I got the job full-time.
Oh, cool.
So it was called a brand warrior, which is basically just like a tech rep. So I would go to different running stores and teach people about like the technology and shoes. Or work at like major marathons. Mm-hmm. Like I would work at Chicago and New York and Boston and all that type of stuff. But it was like, it was a lot of traveling.
Totally.
Yeah. And then after that, I worked for Moving Comfort.
Oh.
They were based in Virginia before they got bought and got moved out to Brooks. So I started in sales there, which was a great experience. Like I learned a lot, but it wasn't really kind of like the apparel stuff that I wanted to be doing. So I did sales for a while and then I got promoted to be the product line manager of their Run Fitness stuff. So I did that until they got bought and then moved out to Seattle. And because I had just had Chloe, like my husband's job is here. Like it just didn't make any sense. And so that's when I stopped working with them for a little bit. I did stuff with my dad. He has like mostly online business, which was great. A good experience for like creating something out of nothing, you mm-hmm. know, online. And then after I found out I was expecting my second, I was like, okay, forget this. Like I'm staying home.
This is too much.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is too much. But, at the same time, I really just like missed being in the running industry, and part of starting my blog was kind of just to like make sure I still like stayed up to date with like my contacts or found a way to like still make myself relevant, so when I went back to work I could get a job back in the running industry. It wasn't like, okay, well you haven't worked in 14 years or something, you know. So and then it just kind of like tumbled into something else.
So did you, when you started it though, were you like, I foresee this as becoming a business at some point?
No. It was really just more of like a social thing. Like,
yeah.
It was almost like a Facebook where you kept in contact, but it was like an expanded Facebook. Like I could write my thoughts. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I really had no clue there was such a thing as running blogs. Like when other people started commenting on my blogs, I'm like, wait, how the heck do these people find this?
You
like,
care about this?
What? What's going on? And then I'd be clicking through and I'm like, oh my gosh, there are people that like do this, you know, which sounds so naive, but like, you don't always know, you know?
Right. But so, I mean, and to like, to grow your blog and like the whole online presence that you've kind of created for yourself to what it is, I mean, like that takes a lot of work. I mean, you had to be diligent about like posting. What were you probably posting like every day for a while?
I don't know that I've ever done every day. I mean, I go through periods where I'll post every day. I mean, I think blogging is hard in a sense because you're marketing yourself. And while, you know, I don't like dislike myself, it's like hard to always be like, look at me. This is what I did. And I got this award. Yeah. And let me tell you my thoughts. And so I think there's periods of time where I like do a lot of it. And then I'm like, okay, I can't talk about myself anymore. Like
I know, it feels narcissistic, you know, right?
Yeah. And so it's, I haven't quite found the balance of like how much is too much and how much is not enough. But yeah, it definitely takes a ton of work. I think people that do it solely for fun or who aren't trying to grow it don't really understand like the amount of time, you know, that goes into it. And the time that goes into it, even if you're not writing a blog post, like just all the back end stuff that you're constantly doing. And of course, it's so worth it to me because I'm able to stay home with my kids. Like I would have already had to go and find a job outside of the house. And being home with my kids is like super important to me. My mom stayed home with us. And so, you know, it's just something that I wanted. You know, I think everyone has like different goals and different choices. And being a mom is like a cool thing to me.
Yeah.
So I'm totally cool with it being my priority. Like, hey, what do you do? Well, I'm a mom. You know?
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
So when you you started the blog in 2009, when were you like, okay, this is turning into something. Like this is could be a business for me.
I think when I did Hood to Coast the first time with Noon,
okay,
like they contacted me and were like, hey, we're doing this thing that we'd like you to like apply for to be a part of. And I'm like, okay. It was like the first time that like a major brand had like reached out to me. And then I kind of just saw like the marketing power of all the different products that got sent to us that we could use during the race. And if we liked it, you know, talk about it online. And so I think that's what really got like the wheels turning. That was like, hey, I can do this for fun and also turn it into a way to make a living, you know? So I think I've definitely put in like a lot of hard work, but I think there have been some like lucky things that have happened, like the women's running cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think had that not happened, maybe my blog wouldn't be where it is, you know? So,
well, that's when I think that is right when I started following you, actually. Right when I think you were like the contest was going on when I started following you, because I remember like seeing the votes and everything.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to anybody listening, because Dorothy was did the cover runner contest in 2012?
Yeah, 2012. And it was before they went to single issues. They had double month issues.
Oh, okay.
So I was the cover for a double month.
Oh, okay.
So it actually brought like so much exposure to my blog because it was like, you know, 61 or whatever days.
Oh, so they used to only put out
six issues a year.
Oh, I didn't know that. So that was 2012, and then they didn't do it in 2013. And then I saw it posted in 2014, so I was like, and I had remembered you doing it.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that, and I was like, I told my husband, I was like, I think I could do that. Like, I think that I have a good story here, and like, I could apply to do this. And so like, I literally sat at my kitchen counter and like typed up the, you know, I'm sure it was the same thing when you did it, like short application, like probably like
very short
100 yeah. words or, you know, and I just like typed it up in 10 minutes and didn't think much about it. And I was like, I have a good feeling about this though. But my thing was, because I remember this is around the time when I started following you, I remember how much promoting you had to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm comfortable putting myself out there like that because I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to be like, vote for me, but you have to.
Yeah, you really do have to, and I am not sure that I've entered anything. I don't want to say I haven't, because someone's going to like look it up and be like, she was wrong, she lied. I don't think I've really entered anything that required votes after that. Just because
it's like so much.
So emotionally draining.
Yeah, it is.
And for your cover, I think that your cover was more of like a story.
It was like the Find Your Strong story, yeah.
Yeah, when I entered it, like you didn't have to have like a story. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, so I almost felt guilty that it's like, you know, sure, everyone has their struggles, but it's not like I overcame anything like so super amazing that someone else couldn't have done, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just luck of the draw that I made it to the finals, and then I happened to have some really great people helping me promote it and helping me get votes, you know? So I think it was like slightly different in that your story is like so amazing. Oh. I feel like I'm like the poser cover person. But
in the, like when I did it though, it's like, okay, you know, you have these, I forget how many finalists there were, maybe 6 or 9 or something, but it's like, okay, who has the sappiest story, or like, who has the most motivating story,
yeah,
or, you know, whatever. But I think what it came down to is like, who's going to promote the crap out of this, you know?
Well, and honestly, I think that's what some brands are looking for. Like, I had the very good fortune of going to China, I guess it was last year, to run the Great Wall of China Marathon. And the way that you entered the contest was basically submitting like a marketing plan, like what you're going to bring to the table and why A, you were physically capable of it, but what else were you bringing in terms of giving exposure to the race and stuff. And so I wrote all about, like, I run this body and hashtags that I've started. And I mean, it was a marketing plan.
That's so, you know? Cool. I had no idea. Who did you do that through?
So there's this company, New Line, that I guess they're Dutch. I think they're Dutch. They make running clothes and running shoes, and they had like a capsule collection at Urban Outfitters.
Ooh.
And so it was called, I guess, Against the Wall or Up Against the Wall or something like that. And so it all just tied into the wall. Mm. And that's why they chose the Great Wall as kind of like a way to tie it all together. But it was one of those things I just randomly found out about. And I guess ever since the women's running cover, I kind of had just had this attitude with everything in life that it's like, I mean, someone has to win.
Right.
And so I might as well try because you never know. It might be me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I opened the email and it was like, you have 24 hours to respond, blah, 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 blah. I literally screamed because I was like, oh my gosh, it was me. Like someone had to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
So was it just one person that won that, the Great Wall thing?
Yep. Yeah, and I got to bring my husband, too.
Oh, fun. Did he run it with you?
He did. Well, we didn't run it together, but he did run it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. Oh, that's so fun. So you got, like, a nice little getaway vacation, and you got to run a marathon.
Yeah, it was very cool and a really great, like, cultural experience. And I don't think I would have ever, like, chosen to go to China in my life.
Yeah.
But now that I've been there, I mean, if money was unlimited, I absolutely would go back again and run that race again. And,
yeah. So does your mom watch your kids when you guys do stuff, if you have the opportunity to do stuff like that?
Sometimes. My dad actually watches them a lot. His wife stays home, so she can help.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, your mom still works full time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my mother-in-law helps out a lot. So, I mean, as you know, it's like a balancing act with kids. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going somewhere next week, and it's like I'm having one person watch them this day, and then they're transferring them to this person, mm-hmm. and I'm paying someone for this. And
totally. You know,
thankfully, my husband kind of puts up with my antics.
Is he able to work from home sometimes?
No.
Oh, okay. So that you do. He has to juggle, like, picking them up from the different places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, he doesn't have really any sort of flexibility in his job. So.
Are the grandparents close, though?
His mom is really close. She's, like, 10 minutes away. My dad's, like, 45 minutes. But, like, when you're getting childcare, like, 45 minutes is,
you
like,
will drive.
You know, like, I might drive to, like, 3 or 4 states away.
For, I know.
Like,
I have driven, my parents live about 1 hour and 10 minutes away, and I will drive them down on a Thursday and pick them back up on a Friday, knowing that, like, I can sleep in the morning, or I have a meeting I have to go to. Like, I will do that drive to have, like, 24 hours to myself.
Well, and it's, like, such peace of mind. Like, I trust family so much,
right.
You know, and I'm not as trusting of other people.
Yeah.
So it's just peace of mind knowing that they're, like, completely safe and you don't even have to worry about them at all, you know?
Well, and you're in a really nice phase because your kids are big enough that, like, asking someone to watch them isn't like, yeah, he might get up in the middle of the night. You're going to have to change 4 diapers. Like,
they're
self-sufficient to a very, you know, an extent.
Yeah, no, I definitely, I mean, of course, and this is why I say motherhood goes by in a blink.
Yes.
I'm, like, past that.
It's,
you know?
So nice, yeah.
Like, I didn't really do much of anything. And I mean, Eric and I as a couple, like, really
travel
didn't
wise, yeah. Much.
Little, you know.
Well, and especially when you start adding multiples, because I talk to my husband about this all the time. I'm like, man, we want a lot of kids, but it's like, if you only had one child, think about the freedom, you know, just because yeah. Once your kid's out of diapers, like, it's so much easier to ask someone for help. But then yeah. If you have like multiple little ones in diapers, nobody's going to watch both of them at once for, yeah. You know, like an extended period of time. So you're kind of like, okay, I'm going to push the hold button on doing lots of exciting things for about 4 years here.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is this is what I always say about kids is, like, it might be hard now, but, like, I'm thinking about my Thanksgiving table yeah. 20 years from now.
Totally.
And I was kind of, like, all of my kids were surprises, and the third was probably the biggest surprise. And so it was one of those things that it was like, no, this is ruining like my idea of like one boy and one girl uh-huh. and like just being done. But I'm so, so thankful we have him. He is so much fun and like so crazy. And I just think about my Thanksgiving table and like, I'm going to have even more people at my table, you know?
Yeah. What are your age gaps?
It makes it. Gosh, well, it sounds good when Chloe turns 10 and then Colton turns 6 in November, I'll have 10, 8, and 6. But right now, it's 9, 8, and 5.
Okay.
So Chloe and Miles are pretty close. I think they're like 19, 20 months apart. Okay. And then Colton is the separate. But there's a time of year that it sounds great, and people are always like, oh, that's so amazing. You planned 2 years apart. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever you say.
Planned that. So you're about two years. And, well, really, that 4 months is a big difference, though. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then you
it
have.
It is because it's like people looked at me. They looked at me like I was a baby, but then I had two babies, uh-huh. you know. And they really were two babies. Like, I had an infant and then a child that wasn't even two yet, yeah. you know. So, and then it didn't help. My son is, like, blonde hair, blue eyes. And so everyone just assumed I was the nanny and that he wasn't my kid. And I'm just like, no, you can have brown hair and have a blonde child. Like, do you need me to explain this to you?
This is so funny because whenever I'm at the park or something, I always play that game. I'm like, mom, nanny, or grandma. It's really hard to tell unless the person is right around my age, you know, age frame. I'm like, what are they? I can't tell what category they fall into.
I know.
And the grandma one is the scariest one because you definitely can't say anything. But there are moms that have babies when they're, you know, like 45, you know, as old as 45. So you just don't know.
Without a doubt, there's been moms in my kids' classes that I have for the longest time always thought it was the grandma coming yeah. to help. And then I realize it's the mom, and I, you know, like, you feel like a jerk, but it's like, you just don't know. And it's human curiosity to just in your head be like, I wonder if that is, you know.
Well, and they could be parents through adoption too. So you just don't know. Yeah. Like, I'm like, if my mom had on, you know, just like her normal clothes and some sunglasses and she was outside at the park, I could totally see why, how someone would say, think that maybe she was the mother.
Oh yeah, when my mom and I take my kids and we go out, like, she frequently, people are like, oh my gosh, your kids are so cute, to like her. And yeah. she doesn't like correct them because she's not going to be like, no, I'm the grandma.
Yeah.
She's always like, oh, thank you.
Soak that up. Well, since she had you so young and then you had your kids fairly young, it's like,
yes. Totally. And my mom and I, it's crazy. I mean, it's been crazy my whole life, and it's still crazy. Like, we're only 20 years apart.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So, and I have friends that are, you know, 15 years older than
right.
me.
Right.
So, it's definitely an interesting dynamic.
It is so weird. My mom had us young, too. She had my sister when she was 19, me when she was 21, and my younger sister when she was 24. So, it's weird because once you grow up and you're an adult, you look at your mom and this is your mother. But then in the grand scheme of things, you're like, man, 20 years, like, that's not that much older than me.
No. Well, gosh, our moms are the same then. Like, yeah. We were done having kids by 24.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom only had three. But yeah, totally. She was a baby for sure. And I did actually, I always thought it was cool to have the young mom. But looking back, I'm like, damn, that's crazy. My mom was an empty nester at like 38. Like, I can't even wrap my head around that. That's insane.
Well, and I remember thinking my mom was so old. Like, I distinctly remember my mom's 30th birthday and just being like, oh my gosh, this woman is, like, archaic, you know? Well, and I guess I was turning 10, so I'm, like, Chloe's age.
Yeah.
And now, at 34, like, I feel like I'm just, like, a baby, you know?
Yeah.
So, it definitely, I mean, I think as there are many things, you, like, don't fully get it until you experience it. But
yeah, and in your 30s, I'm to the point where I'm always like, oh, they're probably around my age. Like, I think I'm going to think like that until I'm, like, 50 and then realize, no, these people are, like, 25. Like, I always just assume, oh, yeah, they're probably my age. Like, Marshall's teacher over here at the school, my husband was like, how old do you think his teacher is? I'm like, oh, she's probably our age. And I'm like, wait a minute, maybe I should think about that. She might be, like, 25, you know?
Yeah, well, actually, one of my kids' teachers on 9/11 was teaching them about 9/11 and was saying to them, like, I was in fourth grade on 9/11. And I was just like, I can't even comprehend that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and I guess as you get older, you know, you don't realize that you're becoming the person that you looked at as being so old. You know, like, I'm sure my you know, teenage nieces and nephews are like, oh my gosh, she's so old.
I think about that all the time. Well, I have a cousin that's, my cousins are like 18, 19. I'm like, they probably think I'm so old. And then when I dyed my hair pink for a while.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I loved that.
They were probably like, what is she doing? She's like a mom. And
yeah.
So, okay, I want to get back to your blog a little bit. If you had to narrow down, like, the top three coolest experiences that you've, you know, been able to do through what you've created, what would you say they were? And if you have more or less, that's fine.
I tried to narrow this down. Actually, it was, like, kind of fun because I was listing out, like, all the different places I've gone. And I was like, man, I've gone to a lot of places. I guess I would say China was definitely top three. I don't think you can top that. So that's probably actually the top one. I went to Kona to watch the Iron Man, and that was amazing. I had never been to Hawaii before, but Kona is just such a beautiful place. And then also, I mean, I love being the athlete. Like, I love running. I love doing races. I love having my family there cheering me on. But I also love being a spectator and, like, losing my voice from cheering my butt off and stuff. So it was a really cool weekend with really cool people, just kind of, like, supporting others, you know?
Now, who did you go? Who was that trip with?
Timex.
Oh, Timex.
And, yeah, actually, it was, like, you know, I say there's a lot of hard work that's gone into my blog, but a lot of it has definitely just been luck, where I had seen other bloggers do it years before and wanted to apply and wrote them and asked them about applying. And then, like, a month later, they were like, just kidding, you don't have to apply. Like, we just want you to go.
Nice.
You know? And so yeah, that was definitely just luck. And I guess the women's running cover is definitely up there. Just because it was kind of one of those things that, like I said, it just took me from someone who never thought, you know, I would win anything to being like, why not take a chance? And it's not just that way in, like, contests. I mean, I think of that for job opportunities or anything, you know, just take a chance.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen, you know? But yeah, I've been to lots of cool places like Denver and Vegas and San Antonio, and then went back to Hawaii with Saucony for one of their 26 strong things. And yeah, I feel like it's taken me to a lot of places that I would have, you know, maybe 20 years from now gone to, but definitely not now.
Right. Like, not at this point in your life. And especially had you been working in the corporate world and, you know, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I think being home lends itself to being able to travel, you know? So I guess I'm fortunate in the choice that I made, that I wanted to be home, you know? But I do also recognize that it's, like, for a lot of people, it's a luxury, you know?
Yeah.
There are people that would want to stay home that couldn't. And I mean, I sometimes think about that. I would love to go back to work, you know, indefinitely once my kids are big. So maybe the blog will be no longer. I don't know.
But the nice thing is, like, you've built this, like, resume for yourself. I mean, yeah. You work for yourself, but, like, you have a business, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. You know, it's hard when you think about it, like, that you're not going to be putting down, like, other companies. But at the same time, like, I mean, you know, like, I am multitasking to, like, the nth degree. Like, mm-hmm. You have to sit here and you have to figure out, like, what is this, like, coding? Or what is this, you know, technical stuff that I have no clue about? Or, like, hold on, I have to research, like, what search engine optimization
right.
is. Or, like, all these different things that, like, if you were in, you know, maybe if you were in a corporate job, like, your focus is narrowed down, you know? Whereas with what we're doing, it's like you're constantly having to learn new things.
Well, and it's like you said with the Great Wall thing, you submitted a marketing plan. Like, you know, that's work.
Yeah.
So I want to get into this a little bit. I feel like you've gotten a lot of scrutiny online. Like, when you put yourself out there, you're going to have haters. And I think about that with my podcast all the time. Like, when I say something, someone can twist my words. And will they judge me?
Yeah. Well, I think for a long time I did think of people that were negative as haters. And now I, like, really don't look at them so much as haters. I think that you can kind of, like, break it down into, like, different categories. Like, maybe somebody's reading your stuff and they're having a really crappy day. So hearing you say that, you know, it was work to apply to go to the Great Wall Marathon is really going to piss them off.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be like, that was work, girl. Like, you had to put a marketing plan. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry for you. Like, would you like to hear what real work is, you know? So I separate those people out. And I recognize that because I think there's times where I have been, like, busting my butt that people don't know about in the past where I looked at other people and thought, man, their life is easy. I wish I had their life, you know? And then there's, like, the people that are just, they are openly jealous, you know? And that took me calling out someone saying, like, hey, can you, like, stop being so mean to me? Like, I don't know what I did to you, but I'd like to apologize if I did something, because clearly I don't know how you can have this much contempt for someone that you don't know, you know, what is it? And when they said, it boils down to the fact that I'm jealous, then it's like, okay, well, I can see that because I look at some people sometimes, and though I don't want to feel jealous, I do.
Right.
You know. And then there's people that are just feel empowered online to say, like, whatever they want about anyone. And so it has absolutely nothing to do with you. Like, you just are their person of the day. You know what I mean? That they want to, like, go off about. And then I think that some of the criticism in the early years, I took it all as, like, everyone's being so mean, like, they don't understand my life. And now I'm like, you know, maybe their delivery was off in how they were criticizing me, but maybe they saw something and just wanted to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, maybe you should stop worrying about your tempo run and think about the fact that you have a newborn right next to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe their delivery was off, but I think all criticism that's negative shouldn't be taken as, like, a personal attack. Maybe just for a second, think about it. Like, well, if it was my mom coming to me and telling me this, like, would I feel differently, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're in the moment of something, you can't take constructive criticism at all. Like, but you can look at it later. But even now, it's like, I mean, I have this watch face with Garmin that you can download. It's a free watch face. And I go to the reviews, and people are, like, not giving it full star reviews. And I'm like, wait, but why? And people are like, well, you know, I want this on it, or I want that on it. And it's like, okay, well, but I didn't want that on it, and I developed it with them.
Yeah.
And this is what I wanted. I wanted time and steps.
Yeah.
And other people are like, well, it's off center. And it's like, you can't make everyone happy. You know what I mean? And so if you spend your life trying to make everyone happy, like, you're miserable inside. And there have been years where I have been that way, you know, where it's like, well, I need to make this person happy. And everything I wrote on my blog was, like, thought over to, like, the 20th degree because I'm like, I don't want to piss someone off. Mm-hmm. But at some point, like, you just have to be you and understand that it's like, everyone's not going to like you, you know?
So true.
And like, I've definitely made mistakes. Like, you know, a couple years ago, I got into like a Twitter fight with like a bunch of different women. And like, I could say I was having a bad day that day as my excuse. I was having a bad day, but like, I don't know, something just struck a nerve and I just like went off. But as like a mature adult, I should have been like, okay, step away from this conversation. You know, nothing's getting accomplished here. I have not met any single one of the women I am speaking to right now or the women that are speaking about me, you know, and that was a learning experience, you know, and it took me like a year before I contacted those women and I was like, hey, can we like squash whatever? And because like, I still feel bad about it and I don't even know what we were mad about, but it wasn't a mature adult way for me to handle it. And, you know, all of the people that I talked to were like, I mean, it's just as much on me as it is on you. Like, it was stupid.
Yeah.
You know? And so you live and you learn. And I think part of blogging too is that, I mean, I started my blog, I guess, and if it was 2009, you know, like I was in my late 20s. Like, you grow up. Like, yeah. You think about with little kids, it's like a year is a huge difference. But 5 years in adult years is a big difference. You know, like I'm way more mature and understanding than I was when I first started. And then I think also in the beginning, before the women's running cover, like I was an underdog, you know, and everyone roots for an underdog. And the second you see success, there are going to be people that are like, why is she getting this?
Why her?
She doesn't deserve it. Well, you know what? Maybe I don't deserve it, but you could apply. You could take a chance. You could do exactly what I'm doing. You are telling people that you can do exactly what I'm doing. So do it.
You know what I mean? I was just thinking about that. Did you see that Chelsea Handler video that was going viral, like saying there's room for everybody? Like, just because someone's succeeding doesn't mean you have to tear them down.
Yes. Which I think, well, I didn't see that, but I love the premise of that. I think there is in a lot of, you know, and I saw this in the working world too, and I see this in the blogging world, you know, there's people that think that they have to be on the top. Like, it's a continual competition. And maybe that makes those people amazing at sports because, you know, running in races, yes, it's a competition with yourself, but you also are trying to do well compared to other people, you know. But it's like, there's enough room for all of us. And I think I do, to a certain extent, believe in karma. And I think when you help other people, like, it comes back to you, you know. When you are pulling other people up, you know, it benefits them, but it also benefits you, you know. And like recently, I'm trying to change my online, I run this body shirts and just to kind of like do it differently. I've been having everything at my house and packing and shipping everything by myself. And like, it's such a process and it can be a nightmare sometimes and takes up way too much time. So I'm looking to switch it to do something online. And there's another girl who has an online t-shirt business who reached out to me about buying one of my shirts. And I was like, hey, let's trade. And we traded. And she has been nothing but helpful in teaching me how she has made her business easier.
That's so awesome.
You know? And it's like, we're both selling running t-shirts, so it could just be a competition. But it's not, because there are billions of people out there, you know? And like, maybe someone likes her shirts better than my shirts, or maybe they buy both of them, or maybe they buy none of them. But you know, like, and I'm just like continually amazed by women like that, that just take time out of their day to help you and lift you up. So, but yeah, that was a real long ramble.
No, that's awesome. That's so good.
I hope it made sense, but
no, it does.
Yeah, you know.
I don't understand, trolls who sit on the internet and are mean to people. Like, I don't understand that. And I think that how you would describe that and explain that was a very good...
Yeah, I think the hardest ones for me are really ones that have no basis. Like, they just attack me as, like, a person. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten comments, people telling me that I'm fat or that I'm ugly or that I'm slow. And it's just like, I mean, you don't want to read that. You know, like, it's not nice to log into your email and have a comment that's telling you you're fat and slow, you know? Like, there's just no need for it. And so for a period of time, I had to turn off comments on my blog completely. I think I had them off for like a year because I'm like, you know what? Anyone that has anything constructive to say to me is going to email me. And I can see that people are still reading. So I'm not like ruining my blog by closing comments. All I'm doing is now protecting my emotions. And then once I was like emotionally able to like brush those people off, then I opened it back up. But it's like, if this is fat and slow, like, fine, I'll take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, why do you, as, like, a person, just feel the need to, like, tear somebody down like
I
that?
I can't even imagine.
But it's like, just, it's weird. Like, it's like,
crazy.
Yeah, and so, you know, I guess those people, maybe I could say that they're haters, though, you know, there must be a reason behind it. And,
I mean, I think it boils down to, like you said, like, the jealousy thing. It has to do. And what... So I didn't know about this until, well, it was probably a couple years ago, and Jenny Poor, like, sent me a link to something that it was a stay on my internets link. But, like, what is this get off my internets thing? Was that popular, like, a long time ago? And is it, do people still write on that?
I mean, I think it is still popular because, I mean, though recently I haven't, like, I track where traffic comes from on my blog. So
you see.
I see where things are coming. So I think it goes in waves.
And but who are these people that write on it?
Well, I used to read it like religiously back in the day because I don't know. I was just like, what are they saying? Why are they talking about me? What did I do? Maybe I should defend myself. And then I asked, I don't remember, or I don't know if you remember the, Sarah who did the blog Skinny Runner.
I know who that is.
She, well, she doesn't blog any longer, but, and she actually just dropped the mic, deleted her blog. I totally respect her for that. But I reached out to her and I was just like, how do you handle this? Because I know, like, I see that you're getting this too. And she was like, okay, well, here's the thing about negativity. Like, are these mostly people commenting on your blog or like, are you seeking out the negativity? And I was like, very good point, you know? And so I just had to stop going there, stop reading it, which was healthy for me. But I think some of it's bad. Sometimes I'd agree with it and read something about myself and be like, okay, well, those were poorly chosen words, you know? But I think it's just a space where, I don't know, people like to gossip. Like, you can't get away from that. You know, it's just, and you know, no matter how much you want to try to understand people and their motivations and why they do or do not like you, like I said, some people are going to like you, some people are going to hate you, you know?
Well, and it is, it's just like you put yourself out there. And I, so whatever, one of my last episodes, I was talking to Abby Bales, and I was talking about showering with my kids, and my sister later was like, you know, people are probably going to judge you for that. Like, people are probably going to have something to say about that. And I was like, you know, I actually listened back to that interview when I edited it, and then I played back that specific part in front of my husband and said, is this too much? Like, am I sharing too much, and are people going to say I'm weird, or are people going to judge my parenting because of that? And he was like, no, it's fine. It's like your everyday life. That's what you do. That's what your podcast is about. That's what you guys talk about. So just leave it in there. But then when she said that, my sister said that, I haven't heard any scrutiny about it, but I've thought about it a lot since then. And I've thought about these conversations I have because I'm like, I'm putting myself in a place where whatever I say can be twisted and turned into something that maybe it wasn't even meant to be in the first place, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I, one thing that I like really dislike about my blog is that, you know, maybe thoughts that I have 5 years ago, I don't stand by those.
Right.
Anymore. And so do I go back and delete those posts? Like, I'm not ashamed of them, but I don't want somebody to stumble upon it on Google and, like, read that.
Yeah.
You know? And even it's like, I mean, I have tried to improve as a writer over the years, but, like, my early posts were, like, I mean, beyond terrible, you know, in terms of, like, comprehension of, like, writing and reading and all of that type of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you can say anything. People in real life, I mean, I have friends that I'm like, really? That's what you read on that text message? Because that's not what it said at all. Uh-huh. Like, how about we put the, you know, enunciate this part and, right. like, then does this make sense, you know? So it's going to happen regardless. I think it just happens more now in the online world. And I guess, yeah, especially with my kids' stuff, though, I have pulled a lot of stuff off from my kids just because people are like, oh, my God, she's not wearing a helmet. And it's like, well, she was wearing a helmet 15 seconds ago. You know what I mean?
She's in, like, the driveway. Like,
yeah, or like, you need to scooch that seatbelt up. It's not enough. And it's like, okay, well, the car wasn't moving and we were getting out. So, you know, like, it's just, there's always going to be those people that scrutinize your life. And, you know, it teaches me to catch myself when I'm doing it to other people. To be like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't exactly like that. You know?
I think about that all the time with kid stuff. I'm like, oh, I don't, is the seatbelt strap up? Should I not take this picture? Because if it lands on Facebook, some seatbelt crazy, car seat crazy mom is going to be like, that should be up a little bit more. He shouldn't have a coat on, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And it's so funny that you said that about the kid stuff because I don't even know if it's still up. I don't have a tab for it on my blog anymore, but I looked back to, like, some posts I wrote right after Marshall was born, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, and one post I was like, I make all the baby food, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, oh, my gosh. People were probably like, shut up.
Yeah, I know. But also, it's like, people have to understand that, like, you're in different stages. I mean, I did the same thing with Chloe. I made all her baby food, and I was like putting it in the little ice cube trays, and now I'm just like, here's some food. Like,
here's some flavor ice once you know a day, in the summer.
So if someone's reading it and they're 10 years older than you, and, you know, they've had more life experiences, it's like, they probably just shouldn't judge where you're at because you're pro, you know, like, things are going to change. I think, though, even for people that don't, like, blog and do stuff like that, like a podcast or whatever, you know, this is the nature of social media now. And so I do, like, frequent personal self-checks. Like, am I sharing too much? Like, my small complaints, could I maybe write them in a book? Like, instead of continuously posting them on Twitter or, like, you know what I mean? Because it's just so easy to, like, grab your phone or grab your computer versus just doing it the old-fashioned way of keeping it in your head or, like, complaining to your husband or, you know what I mean?
So we got to get – oh, wait. Well, before we get into some fun stuff real fast, let's talk about – well, where did you – I know that this has been around for a long time, but where did you come up with I Run This Body?
So I guess I was, like, out on a run, and I think it was not just, like, one run, but, like, multiple runs, where it's kind of, like, the power of the mind over the body, and, like, I didn't do a sports growing up, like, I'm not, like, athletically, like, gifted, and so a lot of my running and fitness has really just been, like, willpower and, like, mentally being strong over whatever my body wanted to do that day, and so it was kind of just a, like, this is what we're doing today. Like, we're running a marathon and it's going to be hard and it's going to be painful. And when the body is telling me to quit, I'm not quitting because I run this body. Like, you are not going to tell me that you're in pain and that we're giving up, you know, because I think a lot of times the body quits before it really has to quit, you know? And it's kind of that, like, internal dialogue in a race where you're like, no, I'm done. No, no, you can keep going. No, I'm done. No, 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 you've got a little bit more. And it's like, at what point, which do you let win? You know what I mean? Like, which is the body going to say, okay, no, we're done now, or is it going to be the mind? And I think the races that I've done the best and felt the best have always been the ones where it's like my mind decides when I'm done, you know, and not some sort of like physical body thing.
Yeah, I mean,
of course, I want everyone to listen to their bodies if they are injured or like it's like a serious
disclaimer.
Thing.
Disclaimer.
Because lots of people are always like, but hold on, when you have a broken leg, and I'm like, okay, you're missing the point here.
Right.
And I think it's also not just running. Like I have had, you know, I've had a very important person in my life tell me that like they took it to like the extreme, that it was like, I run this body, like I'm doing this and there is no ifs, ands, or buts. And like, it was never meant to be that way. It was kind of just like, even in general life, like, you know, you have a choice. Are you going to give up or are you going to run your body? And it doesn't necessarily have to be running, you know, like it can work for people that are swimming or even if you're not into sports, like just that you're kind of taking control of your life and you're not just like letting your life happen to you, you know.
So like when you were out running that day, were you like, ooh, I need to write this down. Like this is a thing.
I like journal a lot on my own. So I like definitely wrote it in journals and then I included it in some blog posts and I think like people's reaction to it in the blog post that were like, oh yeah, that's like really good. I was like, oh, you think that's good? So I think it just kind of like developed. And then, I did something with Saucony. I guess it was probably, maybe it was in 2012 as well. When they first like launched the Find Your Strong thing. They did like a YouTube video on me that was called Dream Big, Run Long. And in it, they like asked me about I run this body and they were like, we think it's so cool and you should totally just include it in this. And I'm like, okay. And so I think that also helped to kind of give it more exposure where people liked it.
Was that before women's running?
Yeah, it was. Isn't that sad? Like you get older and you things forget. That you're like, I will never forget when this happened. You're like, wait, when did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was earlier in the year that same year, which you know what? That was a total luck thing too. And that brought a lot of new eyes to my blog. And then that helps when you're trying to find votes.
Right. So true. That's so true. So you sell the shirt. That say I run this body, but you're working with Erica Sarah though too now, aren't you?
Yes, she is doing. We have like a collection together of I Run This Body stuff. That's you can only get it on my site, but it's she makes everything. And I like can't even remember how I met her. We actually did a jewelry, not a collection, but just like a bracelet a while back, and then have been talking about how we wanted to bring it back and expand it. But she's such like a kick butt person.
I love her.
You know, before we ever even started talking about the bracelets and stuff, like I could just felt like she was like a kindred spirit, you know, like I could reach out to her and be like, dude, like, how are you doing this? Like, give me advice, you know? And even now, like, you know, I'll send her over an order and then I'll be like, I'm losing my mind. Like, I need some girl advice. And like, she's busy as heck and she takes the time to like give me advice on things and be like, well, maybe I wouldn't have done that, but maybe I do that. And she's such a sweetheart and so talented, and such a great entrepreneur. And it's cool, you know, just like working with like kick butt women where, you know, they bring you up just by being like associated with them. Cause you're just like, I'm in awe of this person and I can learn so much from them. So it's also cool too, because it's like when you're have your own like small business, like there's just so many confusing aspects of like, how do I do this? And, you know, is this the best shipping option? Or what about taxes here? And it's nice to like have someone's like bounce ideas off and be like, well, how did you, you know, handle this? Or like, what software system are you using? And just like the nitty gritty boring stuff.
The logistics side of all that, like, has me stressed out even thinking about it, honestly.
Yeah. Well, the shirts for a long time, I mean, they really have been a labor of love. And some people get that, and other people, like, don't. Like, will just write me, like, a nasty email about, like, well, you don't have this in stock and that in stock.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, you want to as nicely as possible, but at the same time, you're, like, frustrated. You're like, well, I'm really glad you love this, and I'm really glad you want a shirt, but, like, dude, there is no shipping department. Like, it is me. Like, there is no returns department. There is no design department. Like, this is all just
this is me going to the post office.
Yeah. This is me, exactly, standing in line. Like, even the post office people always tease me. They're like, girlfriend, you need to, like, automate this. Like, why are you at the post office again? And, like, you know, right, if I release a new shirt and it's, like, I have, like, 100 orders to ship at once, like, the guy at the post office is, like, so annoyed at me. He's like, oh, let's take you in a separate line. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, what do you want me to do? You know? But hopefully, like I was saying before, the new, system will make it easier and more, enjoyable and kind of allow me to get like a little bit more creative. I think I've had the same block print for like 5 years.
So you're looking to do something different with it?
Yeah. I mean, I'll still always keep that just because it was like the original and I love it. But yeah, I want to branch out and do other stuff. And like, I really miss my job that I had at Moving Comfort working in Run Fitness. I loved designing stuff and working together with the apparel designers and being like, okay, well, we want, you know, this on it and that on it, and can you bring this to life? So hopefully in the future I can do that. I don't think I would ever want to, like, you know, I would never want like a full-time apparel business. Like, I have no hopes of being like a Wazelle or something. Uh-huh. But like, no, I like my little side t-shirt business.
So when you come up with the block, like, you, that's your slogan, but like, did you have a graphic designer design the block letters or whatever?
I actually had, this is from the dawn of time when I first started. I really didn't know anyone, so I emailed Brian, Pavement Runner.
Oh.
And I was like, hey, all I need is this put into block letters. Like, what would you charge me? And he was, like, completely helpful. And even now, like, when I need things, like, switched around or changed into different formats, like, he's always crazy helpful. And he, of course, has his own, like, shirts now and started his own hashtag. But, you know, for
what's his hashtag?
We Run Social.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there's been a lot of people in this like blogging community that I wouldn't be where I am without having lots of people like help me along the way, you know. So hopefully I have helped others to do the same.
What is the deal with I have a runner's body. I mean, I've obviously seen like women's running post about it, and like, where did it come from? What was your inspiration there?
I mean, I think it's nothing, it's not something new. It's something that, you know, people have been saying from the dawn of time, but it just, I think I've always been sensitive about my weight. I was someone who developed like way sooner than all of my friends. You know, when my friends still had like kid bodies, I was like curvy and looked like a woman, you know? And so I think it's always kind of just like stung, little comments over the years that like should have gone away. Like, hey, you should compete in the, you know, Clydesdale Athena division, like things like that, that should have just gone away, like didn't go away. And like, I look at myself in the mirror and like, I'm not an obese person. I am somebody who looks semi-fit. And so it's just realizing that it's like, if I'm getting these comments and people are continuously telling me like, oh, you don't look like a runner, or like, did you play ice hockey when you were younger? Like, you know, if I'm getting this, then people that are bigger than me are getting it 10 times worse than I am. And it's like, running's already hard enough as it is. Like, last thing you need is someone telling you that, man, you have big thighs. Because, like, guess what? I have big freaking thighs. And they rub together on every run. Like, I have scars from chafing on my thighs, you know? But it's like, you know what? They've gotten me to the finish line of 31 marathons. So can you stop telling me that I don't look like a runner? And I guess it's kind of just like, I run this body. Like, I believe in like affirmations. And so, you know, instead of just saying, oh, I look like a runner, like, no, I have a runner's body, you know, like it's an affirmation.
Yeah.
It's like, just because I don't look like Shalane doesn't mean I'm not like working it, you know?
Well, for the record, I think you look really fit.
And the thing is too, it's like, I don't even want it to swing the way of like, well, someone that does look like Shalane, well, oh, those skinny runners. Like, no, you can be super skinny and look like a runner, and you can be bigger and look like a runner. Like, why does it have to be like this one body type, you know? And I think it's just like, I want to break that cycle, you know, in some small way, whatever way I can, for someone like my daughter. Like, mm-hmm. when I look at her, she has my exact body. Mm-hmm. Like, and I look at her and I think she's like the cutest little person. And I'm like, well, if I can see the similarities in our bodies and I think she has the cutest little body, why have I spent so many years hating my body? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want her to grow up and hate everything about herself that came from me. And so it really is just kind of, you know, in some ways, maybe I started it for myself. Like, maybe it really was just so when I'm feeling that I don't belong, like, I go back and read it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, still belong. But it's been cool. Like, I just started it. It already has, like, 6,000 hashtags on Twitter. And people keep tagging their pictures. And I, like, love reading their stories. And it also points out, like, the insecurities of women that, like, we don't even, like, as a public, like, see. You know, people will be like, well, I have this and I've always been insecure about this. And I'm looking at the picture and I'm like, is this woman nuts? Like, she looks great. Why is she saying this about her body? And then it's like, okay, well, I'm doing the exact same thing. And people are probably looking at me being like, okay, sure, complain about your thighs again. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Well, and it's just something I just feel so passionate about, maybe even more so than I run this body, because it's like, I just don't want my daughter growing up and having like the same insecurities that I have. And I don't want her to be in her 30s as a mom, like even thinking about this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't even want it to be there. Like, I want her to grow up in a time where everybody is celebrated.
I think about that a lot. I mean, I have only boys and I'm having a third boy. But I think about that so much, how careful I would be talking about body and weight and all that in front of my daughters. And even my niece who's 5 now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to like really watch what I say. Because even if I'm like, oh, I feel fat, like I know I'm not fat. I know I look fine. But you just say stuff like that sometimes because it's just like what you feel.
It's just in you, yeah.
And you can't say that in front of your little girls. You can't.
No.
And, you know, I think back to like our generation, like, and this is not a slam to my mom at all, but like she made comments like that in front of us all the time. And somehow I got out with this, I've never had an issue body image. Like I've always worked out and ran because I want to look good and feel good. And that's what makes, you know, that happen. But I never really struggled with like feeling bad about myself or anything like that. But my sister has been through a crazy amount of body image issues. And I think a lot of it stems from like things that we heard, you know, when we were younger.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I don't think my mom ever did it on purpose either. But
not
it's
on
like,
purpose, right.
Yeah, I gained a lot of weight like immediately when I went to college. And I remember coming home like the first time and my mom like slapped my thighs and was like, looking a little thick down there. I'm like, she just meant it in like a loving way. Like,
right.
Okay, I know you're in college and I know that you're eating and drinking a lot of things, but like, don't forget, like you still want to fit into your jeans type of things. So I don't think it was ever in like a negative way, but it's like, yeah, you just see that. And I do think that like, you know, some girls are just more susceptible to it than others.
Right. Totally.
But I think that having grown up and not done anything athletically, mm-hmm. like my parents, I went to a very strict Christian school when I was little. There were no sports. Like the focus was on academics. Like, I was reading books by the time I was, like, 3 years old, which people, like, laugh about. They're like, oh, yeah, right. But I'm like, no, like, I was the person that they brought in to, like, show off to prospective parents that, hey, this is what we can turn your kid into, like, kid genius. And my husband, like, always likes to joke. He's like, you peaked at, like, three. But I just think sports in general for girls and for boys are so important in teaching kind of like self-worth and just, you know, to like love yourself.
With the I Have a Runner's Body, my women's running cover.
Yeah.
My dad. Okay, so I was 13 weeks pregnant on the cover, which is cool. But yes. It was also kind of like, you know, like if you're going to be on the cover of a running magazine, like you're going to want to get in like fit shape and look great and feel great. But I knew like, okay, when you're 13 weeks pregnant, you are at that stage in your pregnancy where you don't look pregnant at all, but you just are feeling blubbery and, you know, whatever. But my dad showed the magazine to like somebody one time, and I don't know why my dad told me this, but my dad said the guy was like, she doesn't look like a runner.
Yeah.
And I was so angry because I was like, A, I do look like a runner. B, I'm 13 weeks pregnant. And who are you to say what a runner looks like?
Yeah.
Like, what? And that's honestly the only negativity I've received from that. I don't know what people think in their heads or if people even see that cover and know that I'm pregnant on it. But, like, it really offended me that this random man said, I don't look like a runner.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, don't you love comments people make? I had a guy that made a comment, saw the cover. I was standing there and he was like, that's you. That doesn't look like you. And I'm just like, come again, what? Like, what? It doesn't look like me.
So what is the best, most recent book that you've read recently?
I brought it over here with me so I wouldn't forget the name of it. It's called Don't Tell Me You're Afraid. And I think actually it may have been written last year, but it just got translated. And it's about a girl who lives in Somalia, and she becomes a runner and ends up going to the Beijing Olympics and finishes last in her event. And then, you know, kind of tells herself that she's going to come back again and finish first one day in the next Olympics. And it's really just her story in Somalia and wanting to, be a great example for that nation, but then realizing at the end that like, she just had to escape there. Mm. Like she couldn't, you know, it was terrible things were happening. She needs to get away. And so it's just the story of her, getting away. I don't want to give away too much of it, but okay. It's
is it a true story?
It's really good and it's emotional, and I think the title, when I read it, I was like, don't tell me you're afraid, like what's this going to be about? And at the finish, I feel like it's such like a almost like an affirmation, like if you're afraid of something, like don't tell me you're afraid, like what this girl lived through, like she saw real fear. And so, you know, don't tell me you're afraid when it's, like, something little.
That's so, good. I love that. Yeah. I have to look it up.
It is a definite add to your must-read list.
Is it a true story?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting. You read the book, and it's as if she is writing it. So the guy who wrote it did interviews with, like, her sister and people that are written about in the story. So it's based on, you know what I mean? Yes. Like it's not her speaking, but okay. He does a phenomenal job in making you think that this book is written by her.
I love it. What about, anything you're loving right now, apparel wise, food, restaurants, just anything fun?
I am loving all the new Brooks Heritage shoes, because when I'm not dressed in running clothes, I am still dressed in running clothes.
What are they like lifestyle
they're
shoes?
Like, Yeah, they're like their lifestyle, like they're styled like the original Brooks, okay. You know, running shoes from the beginning, but they have them in like such great colors. And some of them are bright, but like I have one that's from a collection called the Coffee Collection. And every time I wear them or anytime they're in a picture, people are always like, oh my gosh, where did you get those shoes? Like I need them. So I am loving those for shoes. I've been really into makeup lately. When I do decide to get dressed.
I know, right?
I'm trying to do it more often, though, because I feel like if you take care of yourself, not just, like, you know, working out, but just, like, make yourself presentable to yourself, it kind of perks you up a little.
You
know
feel better.
Mean? Yeah. Yeah, which is hard to do when you're, like, at home all day because you're, like, uh-huh. Why am I putting makeup on? Like, no one's going
to
see me today.
I have to wash my face now.
I know. I was, like, really happy today when I was, like, I hope. And then I'm, like, no. This is just an audio recording. Like, no one's going to see.
Just me.
But, yeah, so I've been using a lot of Benefit makeup. They have this, like, blush called Cheekathon that has, I guess there's 6 different blushes in there. But it smells phenomenal, which sounds really funny. But when you're putting it on your cheeks, it smells yummy. And then my most recent show that I've been digging is Stranger Things.
Oh, yes.
On Netflix. Which I totally thought I was going to hate because I'm not, like, a sci-fi mm-hmm. person. And, I mean, about as, like, sci-fi as I get is, like, Star Wars. And that's not even, like, sci-fi.
That's more than me.
But Stranger Things, I loved it. And I totally binge-watched it. It has Winona Ryder in it. And I have liked her since I was a little person. So, and I feel like I haven't seen her in... much. Like, I feel like the whole thing, she, like, stole something, yeah. And then she, like, nothing. Disappeared. She was like, nope, I'm done.
That was probably so smart anyways, on her part to disappear.
She's
for
back.
A little bit.
And she's really, really good in it. And, yeah, it's, like, it's just strange. Like, a boy disappears, and there really is no good way of explaining it. And my husband wasn't hooked after the first episode. He was like, okay. But we kept watching. But then towards the end, it was like, well, we might as well just sit here for, like, 3 more hours.
Might as well finish it. We started it. Like, Glenn tweeted something about, like, finding a new show, and all these people were suggesting it.
Yeah.
So we started it, and the scene where something's coming after this little boy and he's in the shed or whatever. I'm not giving anything away because it's in the first 15 minutes of the first episode or something. I looked at Glenn and I was like, honestly, like, I can't do this. Like, I am not into this. So we changed and we started watching Newsroom instead. But he's still watching it. Like, he'll watch it on the bike trainer or he'll watch it, like, while I'm watching The Bachelorette or something.
Yeah.
And he loves it. But he's like, I can honestly say you would hate this show.
Yeah, really?
But everybody loves it. Like, you love it and you say you're not into shows like that. So.
Yeah.
He said it's kind of creepy, too. And I get scared really easily.
Yeah. If you get scared easily, I wouldn't watch it because I definitely have, like, an overactive imagination. So when I watch shows like this, like, I don't really like going down into my basement by
right.
myself.
Yeah.
I run up the stairs, like, as fast as I can.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, please don't grab me in my basement. Another show I've been watching is Queen of the South, which is kind of just like a drug war, like... Yeah, you know, Mexican drug gangs, like cartels and stuff like that. And then, but it's like, it has some strong female characters in it. So I didn't think I would like it because I'm not usually that type of show, but it's good. And it's on USA, which I was like surprised because I don't usually find shows I like on USA.
Yeah, I don't even know what's on USA.
I
started watching Unreal, which is on Lifetime. Have you ever watched that?
Oh.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Is it bad in a good way? Or
yeah, I mean, well, did you ever get into The Bachelor?
No, okay. I know. I'm like the non, I mean, I am a girly girl, but like that's Bachelor, Bachelorette, all that stuff, can't do it.
It's terrible. Unreal is, it's basically like a behind the scenes of like a reality show, but it's, I mean, it's fake. It's like a...
Oh, I think I've seen a commercial
for
this.
Yeah, I mean, it's so bad, but I'm so hooked, like... On Monday, Lewis took a 4-hour nap, and so, like, I worked a little bit, but then I, like, watched a few episodes of that, and then I mowed the lawn, And then I was going to work a little bit more, but I was like, I think I'm going to have to watch one more episode. So I think I watched like three episodes during nap time, which is, you know, you got to have days like that sometimes.
I agree.
But yeah, I'm really bad TV watcher. Glenn, my husband, always says, if I could honestly change one thing about you, it would be that you watched better TV and liked better movies.
Oh, that's funny. So, I don't even, this is something I started when I like first started staying home. Like I just don't turn on the TV at all during the day.
Yeah.
Because I knew I would just get sucked into it. And then it helps because like a lot of the shows, like Eric and I watch them together. Like, mm-hmm. so we'll just do on demand at night. Mm-hmm. And so if I watched it during the day, like he'd be pissed.
Yeah. You know,
like, he would come home and be like, wait, you watched, you know, so that's helpful. Otherwise, I think I could easily get sucked down the drain, clearly, because it, like, I think we watched Stranger Things in, like, 2 days.
Well, we probably should wrap up because we've been going for a while, so.
So it was lovely talking to
I'm
you.
I'm so glad we finally did this. Yeah, I'm really excited about it, and I think people are going to love it.
Sounds good.
All right, have a good rest of your day.
You too. See ya.
All right, everybody, that wraps up episode 26. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Dorothy, for coming on the show. You guys can follow Dorothy at Mileposts on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find her website at www.mile-posts.com. All right, so as you know, or maybe you don't know, a new episode drops every single Friday. So I will see you next week, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.